Seen a lot of change, been through a lot of pain. Some things are not the same as they were a year ago. But all will be okay, I move on each and every day. The past is where it stays, way back a year ago.
Hey guys, welcome back to Wake and Make Podcast, your favorite podcast centered around the maker community. We got one of my favorite people in the entire world. I know I say that about everyone, but it's true because I handpick the guests that come on here. And I say guests, but it's more like guest co-hosts. So I'm super excited. We have Grant Pedersen. Is it Pedersen?
It is indeed. Yeah. Thanks for getting that right. Nailed
Absolutely. Grant, I'm super excited. We've been talking about this probably for over a year, getting you on the previous podcast, now this podcast, and it just so happened to work. So I'm really excited to have you on. I think that you'll have an awesome perspective and value to the group of listeners that are kind of the weekend warrior hobbyist type that really do it because they love the craft and they're not trying to introduce yourself, let us know kind of your involvement in the craft, where you're from, all of the stuff.
Yeah, cool. So Grant Pedersen, as we covered, so my involvement in the craft, I discovered woodworking probably 6 years ago. It kind of coincided with my wife's discovery of Pinterest and all those fun little articles that you'd see, easy to make projects with with this number tools, or like, you know, that kind
easy
of stuff.
Easy to get your husband to do it for you.
Yes. So it started with an easel. My wife used to teach third grade. She's still in elementary school education. But she wanted an easel for her classroom, so I made an easel. It was okay. You know,
as every first project is.
Yes. Yeah, it functions. It's probably in pretty rough shape now though. And then it went from that to what was the next thing, like a produce stand. So you know, it's kind of nice to just have your fruits and veggies just out so that when you're walking by, hey, I'm hungry, I can just grab a snack and move on. And the kids love it because then it's nice and easy for them to grab it, that sort of thing.
And encourage fruits and vegetable eating.
Yes, exactly. And through these couple of projects, I started to discover, you know, I kind of like working with my hands. It had been a while. And so I just kind of went down the rabbit hole of watching various YouTubes on how to do this, that, or the other thing, and collecting tools over the years. And so that's kind of how I got the start in woodworking. Now I make all sorts of different things, from large pieces of furniture to small boxes. And then since I live in Minnesota, and my old shop, it was just out in the detached garage. So it would get cold during the winter, to the point where glues and everything wouldn't work and whatnot. So I just had to push everything up to the back of the wall so we could park in the garage. And then the idle hands started kind of bothering me a bit. So it happened that my father-in-law used to do a little bit of leather working. He was more into like the kits from Tandy and did a little bit of tooling here and there. But I was like, hey, Gino, do you use your tools for anything? Or do you mind if I borrow them for a while? And he's like, oh, go ahead. So I kind of started going down that rabbit hole of, all right, let's make a wallet and see what happens. And I ended up enjoying that. So that was my winter crafting.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense.
I do the woodwork spring through fall, and I do the leather work during the winter. And now I'm fortunate to have moved into a place that has a heated shop, so I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. It's a beautiful thing.
I got a heated shop right now, you know, because I was just bitching about it for 20 minutes before we started this. There's literally sweat just dripping down the front of my face. And I built this studio not too long ago, and they had to have used wet wood or something like that, because it gets so, it's like a humidor in here. It's so like moist hot but it's at least a solid like 98 degrees in here right now.
Oof. Yeah, yeah, that's warm. Sorry you had to do this so late, man.
Oh, no, no worry. If you don't mind, I mean, it's not a big deal to me. I mean, I'm not wearing pants. If that doesn't make you uncomfortable, it doesn't make me uncomfortable, you know?
You do you.
I love it. Well, we always joke about, like, once it gets too hot, you can only get so naked.
Oh, yeah.
How awkward would that be if I just started doing the podcast naked? Now that we're just doing audio, like, just really make the guest uncomfortable.
Not a big deal, man.
Not a big deal.
Just strip it down.
There you go.
To say the same thing all the time, you know, during the winter, I can always put more clothes on. During the summer, it's only socially acceptable to take so much off.
Right. How's the weather there in Minnesota right now?
Right now, it's been in like the mid-60s. So it's nice, you know.
Springtime?
Yeah. It's Minnesota, so it fluctuates quite crazily. Like last week, we had a couple of days that were up in like the high 70s to 80s. And now we're back down to the 50s and 60s again. So just the springs here, spring and fall are always a bit bonkers.
Days that you don't know if you should wear shorts or pants. Those
exactly.
Kind of times.
Got to check the weather every day.
That's tricky. So now that you're focusing really a lot on woodworking and leathercraft, is that whole pattern of like winter leathercraft and summer like woodworking, is that still in rotation, or do you still work on leather through the summer and work through, I'm sorry, through the winter? Do you still do both hobbies?
I just kind of wherever the wind blows me now. You know, if I got something on the honey-do list from the missus, you know, if in the wood shop, I go in the wood shop. If she wants a new bag, I make a new bag. You know, these sorts of things. So, or if in the near future, after I'm done with my next upcoming project is going to be a entryway table for the house.
Oh, awesome.
And then right after that, a buddy of mine just moved back into town from Colorado and is insisting that I build him a dining room table. So, luckily he's one of those guys who he likes nice things, but he also understands that nice things cost money.
Those are the right kind of people.
He's willing to pay for it. And he's such a sweet guy. And I really look forward to working with him on it.
That's awesome. That was what I was going to ask you. If you're actually, like, if you're selling your products, like whether it's leather, whether it's, you know, woodworking, how far are you in that process? And do you want to be that far? Like, some people just want it to be very pure and they're just making stuff for their themselves or their friends and family is kind of for gifts and stuff like that. And there's some people that do it on the weekends and try to make a couple extra bucks. And there's people that do full-time work and then own a business. Like,
oh man, I respect the hell out of the people that do that. Like, you know, over at Hemlock and Hyde and Josiah and Bree over Handsome Leather Co. The fact that they work full-time jobs and are still running like that side hustle, so much respect. I don't have the bandwidth for that.
You enjoy your downtime?
I enjoy my downtime. I see. So I kind of describe myself as a lazy introvert who copes with anxiety and depression. So I like, you know, if I have a day, yeah, I know I sound like a real catch. Sorry, ladies. No,
hey, you already caught. Doesn't matter if you need to be.
That's right. I'm taken.
If your wife loves you, that's the only person you need to impress.
100%. I am lucky to have the wife that I have. She's fantastic. She puts up with a lot. I'll say that.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat, brother. I totally know.
Yeah, man. So yeah, that downtime is huge for me. So I don't, my end goal would be eventually to have the hobbies pay for themselves. I'd like to get to a point where I can make a few bags or a few wallets and sell them, or maybe a couple of side tables and sell them or whatever. But for the time being, with having to work full time, I just finished up going to school, which that's nice to take that off my plate. And then, so work full time, got the family, and trying to have some sort of social life, whatever that looks like with this COVID world. You know, I don't get to see my friends nearly as much as I like. But because of all that, shot time is precious. And
well, now we're also going into monkeypox season, so you can't, you know.
Oh man, there's always something. Always
give
something.
Us a break, you know? Give us a break.
COVID, there was the killer bees. There's dude, what happened to the killer bees?
Wu-Tang was out in full force. The killer bees were attacking.
Oh man,
it's rough. Just, man,
this
it's
is a crazy world here. We live in.
Yeah, you know what, we were slightly talking about this before, and I don't want to, you know, go too far off topic, but it is a crazy world that we live in, and I get super super bad anxiety thinking about how gnarly it is and how gnarly it can potentially get really quick within the next few years here. It stresses me out, and the only way that I can cope with it is at least we can say we lived through this time, you know, like yes. We could say that, yep. We were a part of this time when we get older, like, oh, you young whippersnappers, you don't know how bad it was when we were kids or
oh,
whatever.
I know. We had our own set of race riots. We got right. Everything.
We got a, you know, a white supremacist, you know, domestic terrorist problem. Who would have saw that one coming, right?
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
It's insane. And me being such a person that is really, really about equality and people being treated decently, whatever color they are, whatever creed they are, whatever religion they are, whatever they choose to do with their genitals, none of my business. I'm very yes. much like that. I thought we were progressing so much for so long, and it feels like we just went back 25 years, and it's heartbreaking. 50 years.
It's been a real sad state of affairs around here. Yeah, it's brutal, and I'm just hoping things start turning themselves around, and we can get back on the right track again.
I always joke around about it. I'm like, some of the people got COVID, and some of the people think that the president's a lizard or is a hologram, you know, like,
oh man,
everyone got sick, just some people mentally and some people physically, and crazy, crazy stuff, man. But I don't want to dive too far into that. It's just something that's been on my mind, and I could go so deep into it, but what's the point at this point? Like, what is it? Like, it's so draining to me and it's so heartbreaking, but you know, what can you do, man? I just hope that everyone can be treated equal and they're not treated poorly just because their ancestors come from closer to the equator.
Amen.
To me, yep. That's the most ignorant shit I've ever heard of, disliking somebody because they have more melatonin. Yeah. They have more of that in their skin to protect them from the sun, that they're different.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's heartbreaking. It is. And, you know, one of my biggest goals as a parent is to try and make sure my boys are just treating everybody well, you know, just doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter who they are. Just treat them respectfully, you know.
We're trying to start a family, and I spend more time thinking about what I want to be as a father while I'm in this shop more than anything else. Conversations that I intend to have with my little one, boy or girl, whatever it is, how I want to react to certain things. What you just said is the number one thing that crosses my mind. Like, I want to be the person that they learn how to treat others well from, you know? And that's the most important thing, man. It's, I don't know. It's just, it's heartbreaking. But, you know, we were just talking about it. You're a very busy guy. You like your downtime and you do what you do, but you juggle being a husband, a father, doing woodworking, leathercraft. What are some of your strategies? And you work full time, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
What do you do? I don't know if I know this.
Yeah, so I work for a grocery distributor. I work in our produce department. I do mostly like behind the scenes case movement stuff for different ads, make sure ad pricing is fine. Just a lot of stuff like that. It's pretty boring work, but it essentially pays for daycare and all my hobbies. Well, most of my hobbies. So.
Yeah. Hey, man, whatever you got to do, as long as you're happy. And sometimes, you know, I think at this point, I wish I could be bored. Like, I don't remember what being bored feels like. Like, I don't know how to. Like, I go stir crazy way too fast. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you or if I even said it in this pod. This is the third podcast that I've recorded today. So some of the conversations at this point are like, did I already say that? And you'll hear that through a bunch of podcasts that get released in the next few weeks. But what was I saying? Oh, I'm going on vacation next week. We're going to Atlanta. And oh, I did mention that because of how hot it is. But
yeah, yeah.
It's I'm looking forward to not being in here. Is the main reason is because I know I'll miss it so much. And when I get back, it is go time. And
yeah, you'll feel refreshed and you'll want to get in there, man.
Totally. Yes. Totally. And it's rad. The last few days I've been getting a lot of orders. People are just crazy, like crazy things. A person I went to high school with ordered some like custom sandals. This guy that works
for
Interpol, like international FBI, wants something for his like badge, like a badge wallet.
Oh, that's cool, and man.
Just like random stuff that's like seems so fun right now. And it kind of lifted my spirits because we talk about this amongst, you know, within our kind of community group and stuff like that, how slow it's been for so many people right now. And it's nice to get a little bit of a recharge.
Yeah, that's so good to hear you're getting a little boost there. Glad to hear that, man.
Yeah, it's
but awesome. To kind of answer your question about the how do I juggle everything, I'm not great at it. Yeah. to be completely honest. I like I mentioned earlier, I'm the lazy introvert that copes with depression and anxiety. And while I say that semi-jokingly, that the problem is if I have what I perceive to be a bad day, and it doesn't always take much, I have a hard time finding the gumption to get out in the shop. Right. So I tend to want to just on those nights. And historically, if I do go in the shop on those nights, that's when I'm really going to mess something up. And then I'm just going to spiral further. I tend to like either stay out of the shop, or if I do go in the shop, I'm going to do something small, just like clean up a little bit. Do a quick win project, you know.
That's great advice, because I've been there, especially for me, at least when I was first starting. I would make a lot of mistakes. And like you said, I would spiral because I was like, oh, wasted material. Oh, this happened, that happened. And when I really got into leather work, it was when I was early in like addiction recovery. So I was not just working through recovering off of drugs and alcohol. I was also trying to get my like anxiety and depression under control. So I'm working with all of these tools that are very new to me and that I'm trying to work through with my therapist. And going out, you know, I was working a full-time job then too, but after work, if I went to go work and I already had a bad day doing something, if I did another thing and I even felt like I was getting close to the cliff like that, I'd be like, okay, I'm done for today. Like,
sure.
Come back. Man. And now for me, I'll do exactly what you just said. If I feel like I'm going in that direction, I've messed up a couple times and I just feel like, all right, I'm done for today. It's cool. I got as much as I need to get done. I'll clean up my shop like a crazy person. And I'll be able to go to bed way more comfortable because I cleaned up. It's like taking a shower before you go to bed. You can just relax a little bit. And when I get back into the shop in the morning, I'm like way more pumped than I was. And I actually save so much time by taking a few hours off at night. I'm able to function so much better the following day because I did those things at night.
Right. Yeah. And there's something to be said about coming back into a clean shop. You know, like I wish I had a better habit of putting tools away as I use them, but By the, I remember, so when Nick and Leanne asked me to make that bit, to make their bag from their first pattern that they released.
Yeah.
I took a picture of the template on my shop bench and they're like, oh, such a clean workspace. And I go, oh, you just wait. And by the end of the bag, I got tools everywhere. I got loose thread everywhere. It's yeah.
that's very relatable too. But I like when I'm done with a portion of a project, I'll clean everything and then get the tools back out that I need. Because again, working through tools that I know is going to make me feel more comfortable, is just having to, and I don't do this every single time, but like if I'm sanding the edges before I'm going to use Tokenol, I sand really, really good and then dust off my whole bench, then do the Tokenol, then sand again, dust it off. Like I'm a weirdo when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Hey man, whatever helps you. And I mean, like keeping your workspace clean is such a nice thing. Cause I don't know how many scratches I've put into various projects that I've worked on because I didn't clean off the work surface well enough, you know? So, I mean, it's one of those kind of learning curves of, okay, yep, I need to do better about that next time.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Grant, we're going to take a quick break if you don't mind. Then when we get back, we got a few more topics that you and I are going to talk about, which I'm really looking forward to. We're going to kind of dive more into the mental health stuff and what we do to help with that. The feedback that I'm getting from the podcast, not just from the you know, the guest host, but also the people that are listening to this, that seems to resonate. And it's also something that I know, like it's something I go through. I can only talk about what I'm going through. So, and you know, I think that there's a need for it within our community. So when we get back from break, we're going to dive a little bit more into that. And yeah, we'll be back shortly. All right, guys, welcome back to Wake and Make Podcast. We have our great friend Grant in today.
Hey, hey.
That's him. Grant, thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So before we went on the break, we were kind of diving into the mental health aspect and how people can use crafting, making, woodworking, leather, axe restoration, just any kind of crafting stuff to get you out of your headspace. Can you maybe share an example how doing crafts has helped you with your mental health?
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of depends on where I'm at with the process of whatever project I'm working on. If it's something that I need to be kind of laser focused on, like if I'm trying to cut dovetails for joinery, being in a bad headspace while I'm doing that is not a good route to be. But if it's something like simple and repetitive, like if I'm just surface prepping and like maybe I'm dimensioning lumber on my jointer and planer, just getting everything at the right size, that's the sort of thing I can go into the shop and be fine. And kind of in a way, like it's just kind of repetitive BS.
You almost get in a trance, yeah?
Yes, yeah, exactly right. And it's just this kind of moment where you can kind of reflect on things. But yeah, like I said, if I got to focus on something too much, I tend to just clean up more. But yeah, those, anything that like hand stitching with leather is very meditative. You know, a lot of people say that about it. I mean, there are a few things where it gets to be a bit much, like hand stitching straps.
Yeah.
It takes forever. Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started with that long thread that you got you're across the room. I think I heard somebody on one of your last shows mention.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's bonkers. So, but yeah, I mean, just taking the time to do something that you enjoy can definitely pull you out of a bad headspace. For sure. I mean, that's such a helpful thing to do.
It's distracting. I think that it's distracting for long enough that when you're done, whether it's an hour, some cases 4, 5, 6 hours, if you're doing it full time, it distracts you long enough that after that time, if it pops back into your mind, whether it's the anxiety, the depression, the ADHD, whatever it is, you realize it wasn't that big of a deal and that you were overthinking it that whole time. You just needed to stop thinking about it long enough for you to be able to process it. And when you come back, I mean, it's just like a project that we do. I know I get stuck on something. I stop what I'm doing and I'm done for the day. I come back to it the following morning and I've already answered all of the questions in my head that night, not actually working on it, but playing it through my head.
Yeah. Coming at a, especially if you're in the shop and you kind of hit a wall. I mean, coming back to it the next day with a fresh set of eyes can be a huge benefit. So that is definitely something good to do.
Yeah. It's massive. One thing too, like what you were saying, like doing kind of repetitive things. I do so much like custom work that when I do repetitive things, it's, you know, maybe it's God, maybe it's the universe, whatever it is. When I'm in a really kind of downtrodden space, which happens because this is something that's never going to not happen, but I seem to get like commercial order. So if I'm doing like keychains for, a company or something that is just, it's not highly technical. You could essentially train a monkey to do it. I get those. And those are sometimes those are the best days. I couldn't do it every day. I would lose my mind if that was then it would just become a job, like assembly line. But those days where I can crank up music or listen to podcasts all day and not have to worry about filming a process or doing, you know, building a story all day from the process of doing this to doing that. I can take like a social media break, which is understated. I highly recommend everyone take a week or two off of social media every once in a while. No one's going to notice. I hate to say it so bluntly, but no one cares that you took a week off. No one's like waiting with bated breath to be like, oh my God, Dennis is back. No one gives a shit. So do it for yourself.
I give a shit, Dennis.
You wouldn't notice if I didn't post anything for a week, guaranteed. And I wouldn't expect you to because that's silly.
Yeah, you know. See, well, and something that I've noticed that Instagram did lately is they've added like a favorites drop down. Have you noticed this?
I don't think so. I don't know.
So yeah, in the upper left corner, like you can, instead of seeing all the crap that, you know, it's just the random stuff that they usually put on your feed, you can do, there's like a favorites drop down and then a following drop down. So I've put like a bunch of you guys, a bunch of my friends from the leather club, the leather working club in there. And now I like, that's how I start, is I'll start there and I'll be like, all right, who's posted, so I can go and make sure that I get
that's
them.
Awesome.
You know, so I try my best to get to all of you and then I go to the rest of the schmutz that's out there.
Yeah. You know, the hot garbage and the ad, every other photo or reel that you come across.
All the
ad,
reels,
ad,
yeah.
Ad. You know what? I can't believe that they're pushing reels so much. It's such a garbage way of doing it because there's photos and there's reels. They don't match up in size. Like, it's such a wonky way that they do it on that platform. Like, I get trying to rush that, like, to keep up with TikTok. But it, in my opinion, it looks garbage. And I think that my forecast within the next 2 years, people are going to be leaving Instagram. I think there'll be another photo sharing app that takes its place, or Instagram will get its shit together and go back to being a photo sharing app, because people want just a photo sharing app. There's already TikTok. You don't have to keep up with it.
You don't. Why force yourself to be something you're not? You were that little square picture app, and that's what I want you to be.
Yeah. I miss the days where everything would be in chronological order. When you right? post something, yeah. like then when you get to the end, it says you're done. Like, you've caught up on everything. Yep. You've seen everything, man, that's been posted. Like, that would also, I mean, I get why they don't do that, because it would stop people from scrolling endlessly, and they want you to scroll endlessly so you can see all those ads.
They want you to see the ads. Thing. I'm pretty sure the only thing that Instagram really understands about me is that I am a straight white man. You know, if I had to guess, that's,
you know,
that's
what... I think that Instagram probably thinks that I am the opposite of that. I don't know what that is, but everything but that, because the ads that I get and the, like, the stuff that it pushes me, thank God, aren't like what we were talking about before. That side of Instagram, that side of TikTok, whatever it is, I don't want anything to do with it, man. Like it's so hateful. And it's like, it fucks up my spirit, man. Like it's something that I like, speaking of mental health stuff, like there's times where I'm like listening to world news or trying to find out like different things that are going on. And my mother-in-law will come in and be like, Dennis, turn off the news and turn on some inspirational music. You're cut off for the day. And I'm like, reason 300 why I love you. Like you called it. Like it is time to take a break. And I was telling you before, like I set a goal of shutting down any kind of that media for Monday to Monday. Like I have to start somewhere, because for me to be like, I'm never going to watch it again, that's impossible.
It's hard to avoid. And at, you know, for a while I tried real hard to avoid it. And then you get to a point where you start hearing from your friends, did you hear about this? I'm like, I should catch up on my current events.
You're better off not. If it doesn't happen in your neighborhood, did it really happen?
Yeah.
There's times that I've taken, I know that sounds very selfish, and I don't mean it literally like that, but there was times that I took a whole month off and spent more time outside and within, like going to the grocery store, you know, whatever you do in your normal life. And I realized that people are still kind out there. It's just, they only put the negative on the news. Like if it bleeds, it leads. So you're only going to see the most hot garbage. And what my therapist always reminds me, because I talk to her about this a lot, she's like, remember, Dennis, the media is a for-profit business. Their goal is to make money. And unfortunately, human nature is they want to see a car crash. Do you turn your head when you're on a freeway? Do you look? I'm like, yeah. She's like, see, they're trying to get ad dollars out of you.
That's exactly right, man. I mean, it's nail right on the head on that one. Yeah, for sure.
It's exactly that. And it's crazy, but it's nice to turn it off and to kind of get away from it. And that's another thing, like coming into the shop where I can just get to work, yourself can just get to work, the people that are listening can get to work and kind of escape that space, because in your shop, it should be
just
pretty mellow.
It's just the tools and what you're working on in the four walls and under the roof or whatever. And yeah, that's, you're not having to focus on all the hot garbage going on in the news. And it's a good escape from that, for sure, to get in the shop and do that.
Absolutely. So you're really doing leathercraft and woodworking. I want to ask you a few things that are specific to both of those. One, where do you think the majority of, like, if you were to have two buckets, where are you dropping your money in more often, like as far as sales go?
So as far as like what I buy or what, like for the shop or
the projects that you're selling,
projects that I'm selling. So
what do you think makes you the most money?
I don't
that
make
sounds
a lot
really
of money.
Blunt.
That no, no, really it's blunt, but... no worries on that at all. I'm just trying to figure out, because like I so rarely take on an actual a project for profit. A lot of the stuff that I do is either honeydew list from the misses, or I'm doing things for family. In which case, I'm usually just like, you know what, pay for materials and we're good. And they usually do better. They'll get me like a gift card to Rockler, or the Chipotle is another good gift card.
That's awesome. I love that, Grant. I love the simplicity of it and your happiness behind that simplicity. It's more inspiring to me than you have any idea. I just love it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'd say that the one that I've been paid the most, and I haven't even done it yet, is for the buddy of mine that I just talked about that moved back in from Colorado. He basically paid for half of my new table saw as an upfront cost for making the table. And then he said he'd pay for materials as soon as we figure out, you know, which wood species it's going to be and how big the table's going to be. I need to make a little sketch up try and get an idea of how many board feet I need.
Right. And then try your measurements, like a thumbnail, put a thumbnail together.
Yeah. And then nail down what the cost is going to be per species. Just recently, a lot of the hardwood dealers in the area put a price hike on hardwoods. That's finally catching up to my hardwood dealers, where like construction lumber has gone through the roof for the last 2 years, but it never until recently hit the any of the hardwoods, which has been nice, because up until recently it was almost cheaper for me to make something out of solid maple than it was to go get a sheet of plywood.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Grant, do you have a desire to be more profitable in the side hustles? Because if you're into suggestions, I can think of a couple right out of the gate, but I don't want to overstep boundaries that.
Oh, that's all good.
First question.
Yeah.
Are you looking to be more profitable and be able to take on a few more orders slowly that work with your schedule?
If it works for my schedule, that's the biggest piece.
Okay.
Because like I think I either mentioned to you on air or off air, I forget, but shop time is precious with everything going on. And so it's kind of one of those things where occasionally, once I've done enough on the honey-do list, and once I've done any other obligations that I've committed to, because I do have a hard time saying no sometimes, I will then need that like week to do just something for me. Like you have like the selfish Sundays or whatever.
Oh, I love it. Best thing ever.
I think that's great. And so I need to like, I have a huge list of projects that I want to do for myself that I just haven't gotten around to. I'm a nerd, so I have a little collection of Magic the Gathering cards. I'd like to make a little.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. So I'd like to make a little like apothecary like unit so that I can put all my cards in there. I'd like to do just like a simple wooden box for something else. I'd like to I want to make a backpack, like a nice leather backpack. That's something that'd probably take me a good month or two because it's huge. But fine. As long as whatever the commission is fits into everything else, I'm usually okay with it.
Well, here's my suggestion. First, being transparent in how much you want to work and how limited your time is will actually benefit you tremendously, because you present yourself busier than, I wouldn't say that you actually are, but people have to work around your scheduling. So you can, it makes it so you can say no a lot easier, which makes you more valuable to people straight up. That's just, it seems backwards, but the more often you say no, the more desirable you come. It's like the chase, right? It's like, you know, men,
people want what they
women.
Can't have.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. With that, you can be like, hey, my waiting list is a month out or 2 months out, or hey, I can work on that the next 3 weekends and I'll try to get it done. As long as you're honest to the clients, that's massive. The first thing that I would do, and I don't know if you've done this because I've only seen your one Instagram, but I would start a business Instagram immediately that is focused around woodworking and leather, and post 90% of your projects, your process photos, and 10% of you and your family. Split those up evenly. Put some have your wife come out to the shop and snap 10 photos of you, edit those, whatever the few that are your favorite. Put yourself out there so that people can see what you look like, because people are buying you as much as they're buying your product.
Absolutely. And yeah, so that's,
yeah, splitting that immediately, and then funneling people from your personal Facebook, all of your personal social media to follow you on your business social media. You'll and how you write your copy for descriptions, let them know that you're open for business. So this is now available. Just sold this for X amount of dollars. hey, I'm taking orders for 3 months from now. If you like to get on the books, now is the time. Hey, here's some Christmas gift ideas. All of those things. It's all about the way you phrase yourself. And this took a while for me to realize. And if you're into that, the first year you're going to see a lot of people now know that you're open for business, and you'll get a lot of clients from your friends and family that want to support you starting this business. Get a business name, a business logo, that's all you really need. Get a maker's mark that you could put on your stuff, you know, Grant Wood and Leather, whatever it is, you know, doing that kind of stuff. Then only post your stuff on your family stuff that's your family. And every once in a while, maybe once a month or once every other month, post something to guide people to your business page. And there, you're hard selling. Hey, this is available. Hey, I just made this.
Totally.
I'm opening up an auction here. Come into this private group. And if you want to bid on it, bidding starts at $100. And just do that. And with that, your goals can be what your goals are, which are not my goals, which aren't everybody else's. If you want to do one project every 2 months, that's all you do, man. And you'll get paid. As soon as someone's willing to spend money on you, say, thank you very much. Yes, I can do that. Yeah, I'll do that. No matter what it is, you'll learn how to do it. You're a smart dude.
You're
very talented.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the heck out of that. Yeah, man, it's funny because I was talking to some buddies about starting a business, and because they were basically like, Grant, you got this beautiful shop, you're about to upgrade your table saw, like how can we like start doing something off of this? And I go, you know, from a woodworking standpoint, it's a hard thing to break into custom furniture, because people are willing to pay $1,000 for this. And it's an audio, it's a phone for people who can't see what I'm holding up. But they're not necessarily willing to pay $1,000 for a desk or a side table or what, you know, so it's a harder market to break into. It is. They want the perishable good. And you know, like, yeah, entertainment's important. Getting a hold of people is important. I get the phone thing, but like, having furniture that's going to last you a lifetime instead of half the stuff that's coming out of IKEA or Wayfair these days. Like and that's where the hobby kind of came from for me, is I'm making nice furniture that's going to last me forever. It's a hardwood furniture. So if, you know, when my kids destroy the table upstairs, my dining room table, I can sand that bad boy down, refinish it, and I'm good to go.
And it becomes a family heirloom that will become your kids one day. Like, and that's super important. They'll remember eating on it, playing board games, doing their homework, doing, you know, different science projects on there. It means something. And I think we're always talking about this, whether it's you and I, whether it's our group, whether it's people that are listening to this, the common thread amongst all of us is teaching our clients how valuable the products is that we're making, right? Compared to going, in my case, going to Tilly's or going to a department store and buying a wallet for $40, $50, $60, or even buying a designer wallet for $200 that's going to last you 2 years, when you can buy a wallet for $400 or whatever it is, and it lasts you your entire life and your entire kid's life if you build it right. And people are into just fast fashion and fast things that are easily disposable and easily to get rid of. And I've always been the type of person to buy good shoes, good belts, and good wallets forever. Those things, as a man, will last you forever. Just get the best one. Spend the money on it.
Buy once, cry once.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I forget who I heard that from, but it's such a thing, man.
It is
huge.
Save your money up for it. But it's all about how we market that to our clients. And it's hard when they see the price tag, or, you know, when people ask you and you're like, hey, it's going to be this much dollars. And they, in my case, they want to be polite. They understand that I could charge that much, but it's not in their budget. And it's like, I'm curious to ask them, like, Well, what'd you think it was going to be? How much did you think it was going to, I'm just curious. Like, did you think that it was going to be $100? Like, I'm confused.
Right. This isn't the $50 or hell $25 department store wallet we're talking about. This is a wallet right. that's going to, your kids could fight over this when you're dead, you know, right. like,
right.
Yeah.
So, they could take each other to court or shank each other, whatever they got to do. One of them's going to get it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, that's such a huge thing is making sure that when you're selling something that the people, the end person knows that that's going to be a potential heirloom product that if they take decent enough care of, it's going to be around forever.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Well, Grant, I want to put you to the test and I would love to hear three things that you hope to do within the next year, this time going into summer by next year, so that it's documented in a year from now, you can come back to listen to this podcast and check some of those things off that list. I've never done this with anybody, but you're one of my favorite people in the world.
Oh, that means the world to me, man. Thank you so much.
I just want to see you. If it's simple things like, hey man, I want to do the best job that I can on this table. And in 3 months, when that thing's already done, it's at your friend's house and you can go back and be like, I knew then that I was going to put my whole heart into this project. Like, doesn't have to be, the thing is you have a unique situation because you're hyper aware of what you want out of these crafts. You're not trying to quit your job to do this full time. You're doing this to make yourself happy. And you're at such a position and you have so much leverage because you know that. I don't think you understand how like much you can capitalize off of being picky about things that you want to do. Hey, that's not going to work for me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to take every job.
Yeah, exactly. I can say no and it's okay. And like I said earlier, I had such a hard time with that for a while, but then it just kind of came to this breaking point of like, okay, I got too many logs on the fire. I gotta let go. I gotta let that burn out a little bit. So I'm definitely getting better about saying no to things or being maybe like, come back and talk to me in a year or 6 months or whatever. But yeah, three things. So one of my biggest things, especially in woodworking, is to try and learn a new method of joinery every time I do a new project. Trying hand cut dovetails, doing like a legit mortise and tenon, I think, in one of my next projects is something I want to do. I've done floating mortise and tenons.
Totally know what you're talking about.
Totally know. So the mortise is the hole, the tenon is the phallic thing that goes into the hole, and then you glue it together.
Okay. I say that because I talk to woodworkers all the time. And the thing that I'm most jealous about is the joinery. Like that's the stuff, like the puzzle pieces. And I know I can look at it and know that it's hard. And I think that because I know it's hard, that's the intriguing part to me. Like when you see some of the crazy ways that people put things together, I'm like, that's badass. Like it's just
some of the Japanese techniques with their like crazy dovetail, whatever the heck, like, it's crazy. I don't even know what they call half of it, but like you watch some of these Japanese craftsmen and the things that they're cutting out and then fitting to just fit so perfectly together is just crazy.
It's crazy.
Yes, it's insane. Another goal is to have tighter tolerances. So like with my desk, for example, I just made this desk and my wife, ever since she saw this bookcase at a furniture store, she's been kind of into this furniture that has like, it's like straight up and down, but in between each shelf, it had like an X bracing sort of thing. So she wanted me to do a desk with the X bracing. She's been obsessed with this X bracing. So when I did it, I kind of mucked it up a little bit and the joint was very loose. So I had to then like kind of cut new pieces out and then kind of shove it in there to kind of tighten everything up again. That's the nice thing about wood, I will say, wood versus leather, is sure you can mess something up in a wood project and fix it fairly well without it being very noticeable. But as soon as you put a hole in the wrong place in leather, you're stuck with that.
If you're doing a big old like tote bag and you use half of a side,
oh man,
that sucks.
Yes.
It gets really heavy. So Grant, you mentioned two goals, but they were actually one goal because they're both joinery. So what are your other two goals?
Oh, come on, killing me.
What about starting a business Instagram?
Starting a business Instagram. You know what? That would be something I could do. Here's what I'll do. I'd like to come up with a name and a maker's mark sometime within the next year. I think
that would be really cool. That's extremely, extremely fair for this challenge because I did not plan, and I know you didn't plan for me to put you on the spot like this.
You jerk.
It's borderline unfair to you, but you're one of my favorite people in the world, and I wouldn't do anything I didn't think I could get away with.
You're the best. So number three, man, you know what? So this last weekend, I got roped into playing some music at my in-law's church. So I think a goal number three would be to start playing more music again. I did have a lot of fun with it. I'm not super into the church music thing, but it would be fun to maybe start picking up my guitar a little bit more often.
But you're super into being loved by your in-laws. So
that is correct. Yeah. My in-laws are great.
I'm so grateful.
I have the best luck with them. So it's, yes,
it's funny. Definitely. You totally remind me of my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, like almost to the T. Came in right now, I'm like, hey, I'm talking to your brother. She'd be like, oh yeah, okay. Hi, Matt. Like you look like him. You talk very similar. You guys are, I think he plays magic. Like it's
right on. Sounds like my kind of guy. I like him already.
He's a good dude. Very, very handsome. Just like you, Grant.
Oh, you're too kind.
Can I put you up to one bonus challenge? It's not really a goal, but would you be interested in doing like a minimalist card exchange, a card wallet exchange with me?
Oh, hell yeah.
Would that be cool for you?
Absolutely.
I make you one and send it out. You make me one and send it out.
1000%. Let's do it.
All right.
I'm super
super stoked on it. I would love to see and have something of yours, and I'd love to send you out something. So that would be very cool. Man. I don't do that with every guest. So
oh, cool. I feel honored. I have some hemlock and hide scraps that I can use for that.
Oh, so yeah. That would be rad.
I'll get you the good gift.
You got one of those boxes, huh?
I did. A while back, I've made a couple wallets out of it, and I still got a bunch. So
Was it worth the price? I'm sure it was because they're awesome.
Totally. They use Wicket and Craig, which is a beautiful leather. It was the first time I got to get my hands on some. So I mostly have worked with Horween and SB foot leather. It's just kind of been the way it's kind of worked out for me. But that Wicked and Craig is nice. I like it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you come up with. Like I said, just a simple minimalist wallet. Before, when I was doing the Monday Motivation podcast, I would make a wallet for every single guest that I had on. And that was pretty tough.
It's real time consuming and expensive. Like, that's a couple a week.
And shipping them out was really expensive. And then I shipped one to a guest that lived in Canada, and she chewed me a new one because I forgot to specify something on it, and she had to pay like duty on it.
Oh no! And
that was the last package I sent to anyone. So. just because I got yelled at for sending her something like
that's a bummer.
It was really, really strange. And it really kind of turned me off to the whole situation. So I was like, whatever, like I'm putting myself out there, and she ruined
I'll it pay her. The extra money, Dennis. Yeah.
Well, you're not in Canada.
I'm not in Canada. No,
no, you pay to ship mine and I'll pay to ship yours.
Perfect.
That's deal. Fair. It's a gift for each other. So
yeah, man, I dig it.
I'll work on that soon. All right, Grant, is there any encouraging last words that you would like to share with the audience? Something that maybe gets them through their week.
If you've been waiting to do something and you're afraid to do it, just do it. Just go after it, man. Dig in.
It's, nothing to do but to do it.
Yeah. I don't know how many times I've put off. That's one of the things that slows me down in projects is like, because like I said, whenever I do a new project, I want to learn a new type of joinery. So then I'm like, I'm scared of it. So I'm like putting it off, and you just got to knock it off and do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it on a sample piece. Get to, you know,
yeah,
pieces
exactly
and work
right.
on the joinery multiple times before you put together an entire like dresser with that kind of joinery. Like,
yep, exactly.
That's the
right.
same thing we do with leather, right? Like if you want to try a new technique, you got to try it on a piece of scrap, and then you go from there. And yeah, man. Well, thank you, Grant. I appreciate you so dang much.
I appreciate you, brother.
I hope you'll come back on the podcast soon, and we'll talk about all of the goals that you achieved. And I really look forward to this wallet that you're going to be making.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. I'm
super stoked. Where can the people find you so that they can support you by buying something from you?
Well, I am on Instagram. What is my handle? Grant E. Pedersen. PEDERSEN. Remember the EN, not the ON. So many people muck that up.
Yeah.
What
They're
do you
mucking
do?
That up. Get over there, guys. If you're listening to this podcast, go over there, support Grant, buy something from him, get something custom made, put him to the test. He can do it. So order something from him. I appreciate everybody that's been tuning into this podcast. If you guys are enjoying it, please, please, please rate and review it on whatever platform that you're listening to, and share it with a friend or two, because that's the way we're going to keep this thing going. And I look forward to the next one that we do, Grant, and I appreciate you. Time is valuable, man. Time is money.
Yeah,
and
brother.
Thank you for spending your money with me today.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Anytime, man. Anytime. You're a fun person to talk to. So with that said, guys, we'll see you on the next podcast. See you later.
Way back a year ago.